as I touched on previously, we live in an age of perpetual offense. We got to acknowledge that we have a continuous search for being offended. You'll always find what you're looking for. You know, we live in an age that people look to find things to be upset about, looking to be angry, looking to dishonor. And as believers, we're called to live a life different than the culture, one that is draws us out of our culture. We're told in Romans 12:10, honor one another above ourselves. See, not just show honor, but to show honor above our very selves. And since it matters to God, and honor matters to God, it needs to matter to us. So let's talk about honor in a cancel culture. We're looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Let me give you a little bit of the content here. Jesus has just performed some amazing miracles. He healed the woman with the issue of water. He spoke the words, and he brought back a young man from death. I mean, these are powerful miracles. And right after that, he returns back to his hometown. To pick up the text. Mark 6, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. Now make sure you realize, that's not his birthplace. That's just where he was raised, in Nazareth. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. And they asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter. See how they're beginning to think, you know? We grew up with him, you know? We went to, you know, PS 102 together, and, you know, I sat beside him in class, and he's not all that smart, you know? He wasn't that, like, great in school. I don't understand. He's just a carpenter. I don't get it. He's the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon and his sisters. They live right here among us. Those are all of his stepbrothers and sisters. It's like, we know that family. They can't be very special. They live right here. They, the people of Nazareth, were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told them, he's speaking now to his disciples, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own town and among his relatives and his own family. Let me tell you this, friends. There's no one harder to witness to than your family. And this passage is exactly speaking to that. You see, your family remembers you at your best and your worst, but when you start talking about Jesus, they remember your worst. They're saying, oh, I know what you did. I know the kind of life you lived. How are you going to tell me about Jesus now? Come on. See, Jesus is bearing this out. He gets no honor in his hometown. Let's take a moment and look at the difference between honor and dishonor. Make sure we understand the differences here. Honor was withheld from Jesus. Now, let me share a couple Greek words to help you to understand that. The first word is atimos. Atimos, this word means without honor, to dishonor, or to treat as a common or ordinary. Nothing special about you. No reason to treasure you or say anything good about you. Atimos, that's the word that was used to describe Jesus by the people of Nazareth. The word, as shown also as honor, is the Greek word time. It's spelled exactly like time, T-I-M-E, but it's pronounced time. And the word, it means to value, to respect, to highly esteem. It means to treat as precious, weighty, or valuable. Now, let me just help you with these two words, how they flesh out in life. Guys, remember back when you were dating? I know that's a long time ago for some of you. But you were dating, and you had this girl you wanted to take out on a date, and you showered, and you put on a little cologne, and, you know, you wanted to clean up, and you just thought you were really crushing on her. You thought she was the greatest thing in the world, and we thought she smelled good, you know, she's pretty, And you told her that. She's pretty. She smelled good. She thought you were a little weird. But you encourage her. You brag on her. You're proud of her. You let that be in your speech. And ladies, you remember when you went out with the guys? You know, they'd make an extra effort, and maybe you kind of liked on them. You said, well, you know, you're so strong. You're so handsome. Even when you didn't believe it. And then one day you get married and you settle down. And over time you begin to take one another for granted. And instead of honoring and lifting each other up, you start to treat each other as ordinary. He behaves rudely, stops complimenting her. She shows no pride in being his wife. I've seen husbands and wives show more affection to their dogs than they did to their wife or husband. Now let that just soak in a minute. Some of you are smiling about it because you know it's true. But you show more affection to your dog than you do your spouse. Oh, aren't you pretty? Aren't you precious? Aren't you wonderful? Oh, you're just so cute. You're the cutest. When's the last time you told your wife that? When's the last time you told your husband that? You see how that works? Some of you are getting real quiet now. Listen, if you want a God-honoring marriage, here's what you got to do. You got to start honoring your spouse above yourself. You want a common marriage? Then treat each other as ordinary. Don't lift each other up. Don't encourage one another. Just treat each other as roommates. Over 45 years in ministry, I have seen this played out more times than I could even possibly guess at. The problem is we have respect and honor mixed up. You see, respect has to be earned. Let me say it again. Respect has to be earned. Honor is to be given. See, honor is a posture of your heart. Make sure you get that. Honor is a posture of your heart. Honor is not earned. Respect is. Honor is linked to humility. It's like saying to God, God, I love you and I respect you, and because of my love and respect for you, I'm going to go show honor to him or to her, even if they don't deserve it, because by doing so, I honor you. You see how that works? When you're married to someone, I'm going to honor you, God, by showing honor to them, because I'm respecting you and I'm sharing that honor with him or her because I want them to understand this connection. Here's what's crazy, and I've seen this over and over again. When a spouse starts showing honor to their spouse, even when they don't really deserve it, and they start encouraging them and building them up and saying encouraging things about them and being positive about them, showing some pride in them, that person will start being worthy of that honor. They will step up when they hear that. They will improve because they're hearing that about themselves, and they want to be worthy of that kind of honor. And just the opposite. If you're constantly criticizing or correcting, or you're finding negative things to say, and you do it over and over and over, it will lower how they honor themselves and how they honor you. It's just, I've seen it over and over and over again. That's just how we're wired. We're just like that. So what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Let's look at four different categories of those who should be honored. I'm not trying to say this is an exhaustive list, but these are four major categories of those who should be honored, just to make sure we're all on the same page. And without question, the very first is we honor God. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He is El Shaddai, our provider, our redeemer, our Holy One. He is God. Of course, we honor him first. And how do we honor God? Well, Scripture says there's a lot of ways to honor God. One way is we honor God the way he honors us. He provides for us. He cares for us. He takes care of our needs. So one of the ways we can honor God is to give back the same kind of honor he gives us with our wealth and our blessing. God established the tithe, and everything that God gives us, we are to tithe back to him. We also to honor our bodies. Our bodies. They're holy and set apart. There are some places we should not go. There are some things we should not do. There are some things that we won't look at. There are some things we won't do to our bodies. Again, he's called us to be holy and set apart. So we honor him also with our worship. This morning, we've worshiped him. We've honored him. Worship isn't just showing up and being at his service. Here, catch this. Please catch this. Worship is the overflow of our hearts. Did you hear that? Worship is the overflow of our hearts. When our hearts are so filled with our love for our God who loves us and cares for us, and we want to, that overflow just brings us to the point where we need to worship God. We just have to worship God. That's the overflow of our heart. Let me just be real honest. Your preacher's being really, 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 really honest with you here. If you don't have a desire to be in worship, if anything and everything that comes up keeps you from being in worship, I'm not talking about when you're sick. I'm not talking about when you're out of town. I'm talking about like, oh, I just don't feel like going today, or hey, I want to go to the beach today, or hey, I want to do this, or I'm going to do that. I'm not going to go to worship. I mean, I have to be honest with you. There is no overflow. Ouch. If we don't have that desire to be in worship faithfully, there is no overflow. That's a spiritual problem. We need to be spiritually wanting to worship our God. And that's something that we can do. Here's the second one. Honor our parents. Honor our parents. And I want to speak to the kids that are here today. And when you hear honor your parents, you're thinking, well, not my parents. I mean, they're weird. They're mean. They don't connect. They don't understand. And on and on and on and on, because they're my parents, and my parents are weird. Your parents are not called to be your BFFs. They're not called to be your buddies. I think in our culture, we have way too many parents trying to be their child's friend. Our kids got a lot of friends. They don't need an extra friend. They need a parent. Your parents are the spiritual authority in your life, providing you with life-giving skills, spiritually life-giving skills. That's what parents do. That's not always popular. It's not always going to be fun, but that's what their responsibility is. Let's be honest. Some of us are not the best teachers, and some of us are not the best students, but we are commanded by Scripture to show them honor. I'm going to take my preacher hat off now. I'm not your preacher now. I want to share that my life observation is some of the problems we're having today with teens rioting and shoplifting and displaying violence to total strangers can be traced back to parents who lacked teaching their children honor in the home. Kids, if kids don't show honor as children, they rarely will display it as adults. Some of us who are old, I'll put myself in there, we grew up learning honor with manners. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. We learn to say thank you without somebody prompting us or somebody saying, what do you say? We learned those things because we showed honor. And this will carry into the work situation when you don't want a boss or a supervisor to tell you what they need to do, but you instead want to stay home in your PJs and do your job. It comes back to teaching honor to our children. Okay, I put my preacher hat back on because I was going to explode if I didn't share that. Here's the third scripture that teaches us honor. Honor those in authority. Those of you who struggle with honoring parents, probably your head's going to spin on this one. You can hear it now. I'm not going to honor this administration. I can't believe you want to honor these people. Yeah. We need to go there, friends. Over the years, I've liked some leaders more than others. I have disagreed with some leaders more than others. But I can learn, and I hope you can learn, to disagree without dishonor. Disagree without dishonor. There's a big difference between those two. There's a passage in Romans 13 that I think we need to look at. Some people are going to be shocked. Some of you never maybe heard this before. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now, let me be clear here. Is this saying that the governing authorities are good or godly or always right? No, it's not saying that. When David was running for his life from King Saul, Saul was clearly in the wrong. David was the honoring God with his life. But David still showed honor to King Saul, even when he was trying to kill him. Think how God has used pagan countries and leaders for his purpose. The countries and leaders, they worship trees and idols and the sun and all kinds of things. In some cases, they even did human sacrifices. But God used them for his purposes in history. You could go all the way back to the Babylonians. We could go to all these different empires, the Egyptians. And all these people, they weren't good people. They didn't worship the true God. But God used them in his plans in history. The best way that we can show honor and authority to governing authorities is to pray for them. I began praying for the President of the United States with LBJ. That's when I became a Christian. And I've prayed for every president since, some more willing than others. You can disagree without being disagreeable. I understand this is a really political hot potato. You're not supposed to get in touch with these things. But it's my job to share what God's word has to say. And this is what God's word said. So here we are. Honor God, honor parents, honor governing authorities. And here's the last one. Honor our spiritual leaders. And I don't want this to be self-serving, but I'm going to let the scripture speak here. From 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, verse 17, it reads, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching." Gary Barrett and Brian Brown are the three elders of Ocala Christian Church. We are the overseers, the bishops, the shepherds, the presbyters, and the pastors. Now you hear all those words and you're like, whoa, what? Every one of those words biblically describe the function of elder. Every one of those words. They might not be as familiar as elder, but they are biblical words. Pastor is a French word. It's used 19 times in the New Testament. It means shepherd. It's an elder. Presbyter is from the Greek word presbyteros. And again, it refers to elders. What matters to God should matter to all of us. 1 Timothy 3 describes those who desire to serve as elders as seeking a noble task. And I can tell you there are things that Brian and Gary do for this congregation that you have no idea of. And the many, many, many hours they spend working for this church and praying for this church. They each have their own skill set and gifts, but they're always busy with responsibilities. And I can't even imagine, I can't even estimate the number of hours they spend working and praying for this congregation. You know, we waited for a lot of years to have elders. I caught a lot of heat from a lot of churches in the neighborhood because we didn't have elders. We had a leadership team, but we didn't have elders because I was not going to allow there to be elders at Ocala Christian Church until there were men who were scripturally qualified who desired the office. And I absolutely would not compromise on that. And so we are fortunate that we have Gary and Brian. I can just tell you, 45 years of ministry, they're the best two men I've ever worked with in 45 years. We've read scripture that commands us to honor one another above ourselves. How are we doing that? Well, the English Standard Version says, outdo one another in showing honor. So how about that? You want a successful marriage? It won't happen by tearing each other apart. How about we try to out-encourage each other in our marriages? How about out-giving one another? How about out-loving one another? How about out-forgiving one another? And since I got the microphone and I'm up front, I also want to share one last group, and that is, I really want to honor and respect and share the people of Ocala Christian Church. The elders are amazed at the faithfulness and the sacrifice of this congregation. I hear back all the time from people, everyone is so friendly. When I came in the door, I had so many people come talk to me and introduce themselves, and I got to know so many people. That's because of you. It's because of you. You want this to be a family. Not a Rotary Club, not an Elks, not a Moose, not an Oddfellows Lodge. You want this to be a church, a family. And that's what you do to make it a family. You reach out to people. They aren't strangers. They're new people, but they're not strangers. You strive for this congregation to be a spiritual family. And the reason we show honor to one another, it's because the one we do it for. Let me close by illustrating it this way. Babe Ruth is known as one of the great baseball players of all times. I showed you last week some baseball cards I have. I have one of his. Unbelievable baseball player. Signed his name a bunch of times, but he only signed 7 home run bats. In other words, he only signed 7 bats that he hit a home run with. Those were prized possessions. People fought over those for years. One of them disappeared. I had no idea where it went to. Skipped a years later, a woman, a nurse, who was taking care of an elderly man. He had no family. He had no one else. She took care of all of his needs. And on his deathbed, he reached under the bed and pulled out a bat and said, I want you to have this. It's something I can give you. I don't have any family. I don't have any friends, but I want to give it to you. And she took it. The man passed, and she said, what in the world am I going to do with a baseball bat? She knows nothing about baseball. Never heard of Babe Ruth. So she took it home, put it under her own new bed for security. And it sat there for 18 years, gathering dust. The nurse retired, and she wanted to open a restaurant, and she was cleaning out her house, trying to find things that she could sell and things that she might make a little money off of. And she came across that bat and said, gee, I wonder if I can sell this. And she went to a sports memorabilia store and brought the bat in. And he's shocked. And he said, could this be? And called in another expert and called another store, come over and look at this. And they all got together and realized that it was actually the 7th Babe Ruth bat that he had personally autographed. His autograph was very clear on the bat. It went to auction. $1.3 million for that bat. That nurse, Marcia, was able to start her restaurant, but it was way more than she needed for starting a restaurant. So with all the balance that she had left over, she gave it to the Babe Ruth Children's Fund, started by the Babe himself before he passed. An interviewer asked her once, why didn't you just keep the money for yourself? It was yours. It was rightfully you. Why didn't you just keep the money? And she says, well, I wouldn't have had any money if it hadn't been for Babe Ruth's name on the bat. And so I felt because his name was on the bat, it should go to honor him. And so I gave it to honor the one who made it all possible. Friends, we honor Jesus, the one who made it all possible. We carry his name, Christ, in our name, Christian. He is the one who made it all possible. Should we not honor him with all and who we are? Let's pray. Father, you come into our life and bless us in so many ways, and so often we don't stop to say thank you. Father, we love you, we honor you for being the creator, for being the God who sent his son to die for us, who loved us so much that he would make such a sacrifice. And we thank you, Father, for the honor you show to us by loving us and by sending Jesus first, that he died for us before, long before we ever came to know him. And we thank you for the privilege of Jesus, of knowing him. And Father, that we have the opportunity to come to know you, to believe, to repent, to confess, and to be immersed into Christ. Father, we thank you for this privilege, that as we come up out of that baptistry, we are born again. Scripture tells us we receive the Holy Spirit at that point, that we come up out of the water, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And ask the very first day in Pentecost, Father, what we must do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, for the remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, if there are people who are here today who have never, ever been obedient to come into that relationship, we pray that today is the day they honor you with their life. You honor us so many ways. We want to honor you with our lives today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.